Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, daf Kuf Lamed Vav. And that would be five lines up from the bottom. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Kol shishah shloshim yom ba'adam eno nefel. So we're talking about at what point you're allowed, we're mentioning what is considered to be a suffix. One of the sfeikas that we were worried about was the suffix if the child was really ro'oi to be nimo. Was he considered to be a ben shmoneh? As a premature 9-month gestation, or what about a case that maybe was a ben sheva that was nishtaheh, and that type of suffix is not roy for being doicha shab. So meanwhile, that leads us to discuss what would actually prove to us conclusively that a child is not considered to be a nefel. Says Reb Shimon Gamliel, look, if a child survives for 30 days, then you know that he's not a nefel, and that we can understand from Upaduyav mi ben chodesh tifteh, that the Torah was keiveya, that you're mechuyev to pay for the bechor, only after it's been established that he is definitely a bar kayama. And therefore, when the Torah says wait a month, it means that if you wait a month, that at that point, he's definitely a bar kayama, and he's not a nefel. How about when it comes to an animal? And we're talking about if you're a large Behemagasa has the same gestation as a human. So over there, once a child of a behema was chai for shmonat yamim, it's not considered to be a nefel. Shenemar umiyom hashmini v'hala yeratze lekorban she'ashem. So since the Torah says once the child that was born is roy for a korban, that means that obviously it's not considered to be a nefel, because if it was a nefel, it would be like an avela b'yam, would be a mate. Now, Tosis points out they're not exactly the same, even though we're introducing them, the 30 days and the 8th day, because the halacha is that once you finish the 8th daytime, in that night, it's already considered to be, because of Mixas HaYom Kekulo, it's already considered to be a live Miyom HaShmini V'Hala. So in other words, what we're talking about over here, is on the 7th day, once it's on the night of the 8th day, we would still consider it to be okay. And the only reason the Torah says miyom hashmini in the morning of the shmini is because anyway at night you can't bring a korban. So, but the truth is you'd be able to be magdish the korban already at the end of the 7th day. We're going to see a story like this in the Gemara. Masha Inkin, when it comes to the shloshim yom of the Bechor, over there it's really a din in shloshim. So it's not quite the same. But anyway, we see from over there, being a much mean of all your Atzilah Karban. Now, the reason that we're bringing this up here is because of a very curious issue. And that is, if you're not sure ever, I mean, that's what he seems to be saying. He says, Kol Shishar Shol Shimyon. Any, meaning all cases, the only way that you could be absolutely sure that this child is a bar kayama is because he's already survived for 30 days. So how the heck do we ever do a milah on Shabbos? That's the reason we're bringing this up over here. Because then if that's the case, what you seem to be saying is, ask the Gemara, halo shahas feka havi? What are you claiming? That if you do not have proof positive that 30 days he was able to survive, that he's always considered to be a suffix, so then can you explain to me why that is not excluded from the Mila on Shabbos? Because we said Orlato Vadai, and this is, you said before, it's an Orlato Safek if we're not sure that she's a Nefel. So then, and why do we say that we do a Mila on Shabbos ever? Mimal Hechi Mahalinan Le. So Rav Ada Bar Ava has a fascinating explanation of why that's not a problem, which leads us into all kinds of other problems. And that is, look, what's the problem? Be mal this child, b'manav shach. Okay, if he is, we're not sure, you're saying, right? We're not sure. He may end up being a bar kayama and live to a ripe old age. Maybe he'll die before he's 30 days old. Okay, so whatever. Im chayhu, if it turns out that this is a viable child, so then fine. Then you were mechuyev and mila and you did the mitzvah and so on and so forth. If it turns out that he dies before then, so what were you doing? You were cutting basically dead meat. Because what we said yesterday was that if in fact he was a ben shmoneh, so then remember, you're not even allowed to move him, because we considered him essentially to be dead for all practical purposes. And if that's the case, what's wrong with cutting meat that isn't alive? So what's the difference? Wait a minute. So then why have we been saying all along that if it's a Suffolk ben Sheva, Suffolk ben Shmona, you're not Bechal Lovitz HaShabbos? You just said that basically it's always a Suffolk ben Sheva, Suffolk ben Shmona. And it isn't that we're Bechal Lovitz HaShabbos. We do the Mila because Memanavshach. You're not going to be Bechal Shabbos one way or the other. Either it is a mitzvah, or you're not being Bechal Shabbos. So then the whole sugya falls apart, the way the Rav Ada Barav is explaining it. How do you understand everything that we said until now? Amar, why should we not be Bechal Shabbos, so to speak? Nima Leima Manavshach. We should always be able to do a Mila, because if he's alive, so then that's a good Mila. And if he's a premature child, and he's a Ben Shmona, so then what's, we're not doing any Yisr. Then we're just doing Mechatech Basu Be'alma. So then you made things worse, not better. Omar, my Beret Ravina. So my Beret Ravina said, wow, that was really, that was a conundrum. And I got to tell you that me and Rabbi Nechubi Bar Zachariah, we got together on this, okay? And the two of us worked it out. And actually what we said was, the truth is that according to Rav Ada Bar Hava, we would be Malhim B'Shabbos. And you misunderstood the whole sugya. We have not been talking about Mila mitzad ha-Safek. We were talking about Machshire Mila mitzad ha-Safek. And we were talking about Libra Rebbe Eliezer. So what we wanted to know is, if there is a Safek about the child, I understand that the Mila per se is not a problem because of this idea of Mamonavshach, you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos. But certainly if you cut down a tree and you burn it and you make steel to have a knife, that for sure is Chil Shabbos, man, of the highest order. And if you're not certain that the child is B'chuyev in Mila, the Mamonavshach is not going to save you from the Chil Shabbos there. There is no Mamonavshach, right? So because of that, we said, okay, you're not Ma'abat. That we only meant in terms of Machshire Mila. But the truth is, Mima Lachinami Ma'alin Malay. We do the Mila. Lo Nitzcha Lo Machshire Mila Libda Rabbi Eliezer. That's the point. Omer Abaye, the truth is that Rav Ada Bar Ava's statement is pretty far-fetched. I mean, he's saying that the living child is considered a Mechatech Basar Bi'alma, and because of that, it's not considered to be anything, right? But the truth is, there seems to be a machlokas about this, about whether it would be considered just mechatech basar b'alma, or whether all of the living elements of this child, I mean, the bottom line is, his heart is beating, his blood is flowing, and if you make a chabura, it's a chabura. I mean, to say, no, it's actually not a chabura, because the blood and the flesh and anything, it's all the same thing. It's basically a dead body. That's a machlokas, I think. It's tanoi, because take a look at this, Bryce. V'chi amut b'na b'ema, asher hi lachem lo'ochla. So now we're going to darshan the various words here in the Parsha of Nevelas. So if it says, asher hi lachem lo'ochla, so la'ochla obviously is talking about something that is kosher. So now we start over there, the Braita, that it seems to be saying like this. Min ha-behema means, but not all behemas. In other words, not anything that you think is a nevela is a nevela. So what would that mean? V'chi yamut min ha-behema. So what are those things exactly that would not be the nevela? How would we determine that? So what we argue over here is the question of what are the meaning of each one of these words in the pasuk. So first of all, it says asher hi lachem la'ochla. So that is talking about a ben shmona she'ein shchitato mitaharato. So first of all, it's being merames that there's such a thing as, we're talking about tumas nevelas over here. If you have a ben shmona, that even though you shechted it, you should not think that shechting a child of an animal that was not yet matured, it's only the eighth month of a ninth month gestation, you should not think that you were matire it. You are not even matire it, and it continues to be tame as a nevela. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Aimrim, no, that's not true. Shchitato mitaharato. It's true that you're not allowed to eat it, but, because we said before, you have to have Shmona Yomim. However, it's not a nevela. Now, I'm assuming that the machlokas is exactly this machlokas. In other words, Mar Sova, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, they hold that it's alive, and if it's alive, you can do a shechita. Now, the shechita is considered to be the same as the mila, right? So if you can do a shechita, then that would take off the din of the tuma, and it's no longer considered to be a nevela. So because of that, they say it doesn't make sense that we should be medayik, whether Rabbanan or medayik. Why shouldn't shechita be a good shechita even for this kind of animal? Fine. So here we're talking about, we're treating it as a living being. So even though we know it's a nevo, we're treating it as a nevo, as a living being. Whereas the Rabbanan, who hold, no, actually the shechita will have no effect on it, they apparently hold like Rav Anna bar Rava. And since it's already dead, I mean, you can't check the dead thing, says Rav. Now, wait a minute. There's plenty of other ways to understand that. If what you're saying is true, so then why wouldn't you be able to eat it? Why are we arguing only in terms of Tumah V'Tayrah, right? If you're telling me that the Shechita is a kosher Shechita, so then let them argue about Liflagei Le'in Achila. I mean, where do we come off saying that there's two completely different halachas over here? According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, you should be allowed even to eat the basar. The pashtus is that the reason we have a problem with an animal before Shemonas Yomim is because you were talking about eighth, not Yomim, we're talking about eighth month, but the idea over here of being a Nephil, which Shemonas Yomim takes off in a chashash of a Nephil, over here we're saying we definitely is a Nephil, and you're saying that the Shechita is a kosher Shechita. Why can't I eat it if it's a kosher Shechita? Ella, I would explain the Machlokas Tanoim over here as having nothing to do with Rav Anna bar Rava. I would have said that actually everybody could agree. Since the very fact that they're arguing only about Tumah must mean that actually it does have a din in terms of its halachic status as being dead. Therefore, you can't eat it. So the only question is, let me ask you something. Are there dead inedible because of a problem of kashrus animals that are not metame? Absolutely. Let's take a look at the case of a treifa. Okay, you have an animal that's a treifa. You went ahead and shechted the treifa. Can you eat it? Of course not. The very fact that it was a treifa means that it's inedible. Is the shechita nonetheless effective to take off the tumas nevelas? Yes, indeed. So that is exactly the question over here. How do we view the situation in a case where the child is simply premature? So it could be legabi achila. This is not considered to be a viable animal. Therefore, for all intents and purposes, it's dead. Now you're saying, okay, so if it's dead, isn't it metame? No, not necessarily. Because if you shechted it, so then the same thing should be a treifa. If you shot someone who's a treifa and killed him, would you be chayav misa? No. Why? Because we consider the treifa to be essentially no longer capable of long-term chiyus, and therefore he's legally dead in that sense, right? So fine, treifa, even though a treifa could be considered legally dead, nonetheless, if you're shochet, since it has all of the viable signs of a normal animal, the shechita works to take off the din of nevela when it actually stops breathing. So, Achinami, maybe that's the issue over here, too, even though we would agree with Rav Anna bar Rava. And nonetheless, they're saying that it's no different than a treifa. Whereas Rabbanan, they're not arguing on the Ikar Nekuda of Rav Anna bar Rava. All they're saying is you cannot have a dimyan to bring a raya from treifa for a very simple reason. A treifa had a shat hakosher. In other words, the animal was born, it lived for 2 years. During that time, I would have been able to shecht it, I would have been able to eat it. Then something happened to it, and now it's a treifa, right? So it falls off of a building or whatever. And then I shecht it before it dies. And then that removes the dinim of the nevela in terms of tuma, but only tuma. Okay, but that's why. Because since it had already entered into the realm of the set of animals for whom shechita is effective, so memela, the shechita is effective even now, at least, even though I can't eat it, at least to take off the din of nevela. But if you're talking about over here an animal that never yet arrived at a stage in which it was viable, and therefore was never included in the set of animals for whom the Torah gave the dinim of shechita, what makes you think that the shechita is going to work if it has never yet become viable. Maybe Shechita only works on animals that were at one point viable, and therefore you can't learn out from the din of Treifa. And that's why the Rabbanan say, no, it's actually B'tami ben Avel. Now, I know what you're going to say to me. You're going to say to me, well, I mean, it's not really true that every single Treifa had a Shasa kosher. I mean, what about if an animal is born Treifa? Right? So it has now a actual mum at the moment of birth of the type that makes it a treifa. The din is over there that it's still not going to be tamei ben avelus. There's no difference lahalacha whether it was born a treifa and it's congenital or whether it was became a treifa. So you see that I'm wrong. No, I will tell you that it has nothing to do with it. We discuss lahalacha sets. We do not discuss individual cases, okay? So basically, if you're going to ask me, v'chi teima, treifa mi bet and Michael Amemer, what are you going to tell me about a congenital treifa? I will answer you, there's a big difference, because hatam yesh bimina shchita. It doesn't matter about the particular individual animal here, you're correct, but the concept of treifas is a concept that is in general part of the set of nishchatim. And therefore, shechita will help. Masha'inkin, there is no such case of an animal that's born before it's mature where we can say, well, nonetheless, definitely it entered into the set of cases where shechita is appropriate. Where? There's no such thing. So that it was never shayach to shechita. And because of that, we hold that the shechita doesn't work at all. So according to Rava, he says there's no reason to say that Ravada Barava is a machlokas tanoim. The only question in the Braita is whether we could compare this case to the case of treifa. That's all. In which case, there would be, in our sugya, there would be no problem. So getting back to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says we don't have any proof of viability until it's already 8 days old. Now, is that like his personal opinion? I mean, or is this a machlokas? So, mi pligi rabbanan leid Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, olo. And assuming that they do argue, do we paskin like this, that before the eighth day, then we have no reason to assume viability? We can only assume viability after the eighth day. So how do we paskin? Alacha kamoto or in alacha kamoto? Says the Gemara. Obviously, we don't paskin like him, and obviously the Chachamim argue, because what are you going to do with a Braita like this? A Braita says, if a calf is born on Yontif, you can check them on Yontif, and it's not considered to be a mukta because of Neilad. The reason it's not considered to be Neilad is because it is, in fact, Ro'ui Agav Imo. So if the mother could have been shechted, so then the halacha is that the child would have been mutter at that point as a ben bekua, and because of that, it was always ro'i for achila before yontif too. But anyway, currently it is a born animal, and it is not 8 days old. Quite obviously, if it was born only today, and we're going to shecht it today, so according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you shouldn't be allowed to eat it. This is not viable, and there's no din of shechita b'chalal. Forget about metayer, forget about achila, even if you metayer. So you see from over here that a one-day-old egel, you can shecht it, you can eat it, so it must be that this is going a libet rabbanan, who argue with the Rav Shimon Gamliel. Not necessarily. How come on, Eskinon, we could be talking about a case over here where kimle begave shekolo lo chadashav. It's talking about over here that we know for a fact that it is a fully developed fetus. That's the point. So as long as we can tell by checking its developmental stages, so we know that it is certain that it's a full-term egel, maybe that's what we're talking about, and maybe over there even Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is made. I'm asking you, where we don't have any clear-cut sign, Tzikololo Chadashav, whether there's a machlokas. Okay, how about this case, all right? We have another brisa also about Yom Tov, that here we're talking about a bechor. So a bechor is not roy to eat until you have a mumcha that will paskin that it's a mum, right? And not only that, we don't even allow, normally we don't allow a mumcha to look at a bechor because of two reasons. First of all, it's considered to be an act of judgment, and we avoid doing that on Yontif. And secondly, it's because if you do it, it would be maybe mitakin. And that's a machlokas. Those are Rabbi Shimon's Sfaris. So machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. But one case where even Rabbi Shimon is matir using the Bukhar. And what is that? It's talking about where it was born with a clear-cut congenital mum. There was a mumcha sitting right there who happened to look at the birth, and he saw this thing was never, ever a Bukhar that became usser, and therefore there was never any official din that needed to be made. And since it was never at any point kavua ahalacha that it's usser, so because of that, I'm not fixing it and I'm not donning it. This is the way that it was born, in which case I'm allowed to eat it, and it's considered to be mukhan. I don't understand. That's all very nice that it doesn't have a mum, but it's not ben shmonas yomim. So how in the world did we suddenly find out that it was kololo chadashav? Now you'll note the very strange interrelationship here between the shmonas yomim of mila of a human and the shmonas yomim of life in the animal, which are not in any way really related, and yet both of them are completely involved in the question of whether it's a nafel or not a nafel. Boy, is that a coincidence or isn't it? So it turns out, in any event, that over here we're talking about eating an animal that was born on the same day. And over here we've gotten to the Bukhar by the Behema, whereas the din of the Bukhar by the Yodam is the Mokar of the Shloshim Yom of viability. Very strange sugya. So, but there's no raya that there's anyone arguing with the Rishim Gamliel. How do we know we're not talking about over here where we can tell that it was Kololo Chadashav? Well, okay, you're right. But I have another raya. The other raya is because Shmuel Paskin, Omer Rav Yonah Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, why would Shmuel paskin that the halacha is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel if nobody argues on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? So if he had to paskin that way, this answers both of your questions. Obviously, we see that there must have been a Rabbanan that argued on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and they held that we do not have a suffix, and we paskin over here that the halacha, nonetheless, is against the Rabbanan, and we require Shmonas Yomi. Omer Abaya now, there's a very fascinating insight into the machlokas, now that we know there's a machlokas, into the machlokas between the Rabban and the Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Because, look, the question is like this. I mean, in general, we certainly have a normative concept of birth, in which we will say that the overwhelming percentage of newborns are viable. Okay. So supposing you had a child who is born, appears to be normal in every way, and then maybe he's 10 days old and he falls off of the roof. Not a very careful mother. Or a lion eats him up. Not a very careful father. Anyway, but then the question is, do we say, I mean, well, look, obviously, I mean, this was intervention in the norms. In other words, it's completely exteriorized. So as far as I can tell from the development of the child, I don't see any indication at all that there was something wrong with him organically. And then I would say that actually, divrei hakol chayu. So over there, we can definitely go according to the Rove. We don't have any reason to say that this is not part of the Rove. And if not for a series of unfortunate events, this child would have made it to a ripe old age. So in that case, it's not that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was saying that we would have to assume that he is dead. The problem over here is where he never, ever showed signs of really being a viable child. Let's say the child lives long enough to yawn, you know, and then he stops breathing. Okay, so then the question is, according to the Rabbanan, we say, even though he died, we're still going to be considering him to be chai. We'll see what this is nogea. Obviously, it's not nogea mila, but we'll see that it's very important in terms of the halacha in a moment. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamaliel says, no, if there's some indication that this is not part of the norm, that's when we have the child being assumed, that we have to always be choshesh that the child is, for all intents and purposes, dead. And we'll see what nafkamina it is. So, what is the nafkamina? Nafkamina is like this. Suppose the father of the child died. The mother has this child, and it's the only child that they ever had. So now the question is, if this was a viable child, then that would mean that the mother would not require a yibum. Because it doesn't matter if somebody dies and leaves a child, then the halacha is that even if that child subsequently dies, there is no chiyuv of yibum. Now over here, the shaila is, if you're going to tell me, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that the child, if he doesn't make it to 30 days, so then he's considered never to have been alive. So there's going to make a tremendous nafkamina if he doesn't make it to 30 days because he was eaten by a lion, or if he doesn't make it to 30 days because he never actually showed that he was viable. So that would be the nafkamina. Lepotro minayibo. If we're going to assume that it was viable, so then she doesn't require yibo. That's the issue over here. Now, let's think about what Abaya said. Nofa minagag, o ochalo arye. You're claiming that everybody, even Rav Shimon Gamliel, agrees that then he would have been considered to be viable. So then I have a real problem, okay? What are you going to do about this case? Rav Papa, Rav Huna Barei, the Rav Yoshua, they once came to visit Rav Ini Bar Ovin's son. Now, Rav Ini Bar Ovin's son was taken by the fact that these great gedolim were visiting him, that he prepared an iglat hilta. An iglat hilta is the third born for the bet, and was considered to be the most delicious that you could possibly have. And it was 7 days old when he shechted it. It means it was on the seventh day. All right, so like it's very fresh and very soft, and he thought this would be great to serve them, and they refused to eat it. They said to him, now, you know, if you would have at least waited until tonight, which would have been the night of the eighth day, so then we would have been able to eat it. But now that you shechted it before it was the full term that we know that it was viable, so now we're not able to eat it because we don't know that it was viable. I don't understand. Isn't the shechita of the son of Rav Ini Bar Ovin exactly the same as a lion? I mean, this animal was doing perfectly well, okay? Comes along some kind of maniac, takes out a knife and checks it. I mean, that's no different than a lion coming along and eating up the baby. Now, if you're right in saying that if a lion eats up the baby, we assume that the baby would have lived sans lion, so then the same thing is true over here. If it wouldn't have been for the shechita, so then this igla would have been an igla tilta on the eighth day of its life, the ninth day of its life. Why would they refuse to eat it? So obviously, it doesn't seem to make any difference, which is the exact opposite of what Abaya said. Abaya said, everybody would be made, even Rav Shimon Gamliel would be made, that we go according to the Rov. We see from here that that's not true. And apparently, Rav Shimon Gamliel would consider it to be a suffix, even if it died through shechita or through a lion. Ooh, okay, so apparently we misquoted Abaye. What we have to say is the opposite. That when Abaye was explaining the machlokas between Shimon and Malil and the Chachamim, we got it flipped. What he said was like this, that if the child ended up never showing any signs of viability, so in other words, he's born, he takes a breath and he yawns and he stops breathing. So over there, everybody agrees that it was never viable. That's on the contrary. So I was saying, Abaye was saying the Rabbanan would also be made in that case that is not considered to be a viable child. And Kipligi, the Machlokis, is only where the child didn't make it to the 30 days for reasons that had nothing to do with any organic issue. He fell off the roof. Or he was eaten by a lion. By the way, there's a machlokas about what if he got sick. Is getting sick considered to be an indication of an organic problem that allowed him to have a weak immune system and he wouldn't, or is it just exactly the same as eaten by a virus is no different than being eaten by a lion? That's a fascinating machlokas. It has other implications. In any event, All that Abaye was saying is that if something external happens to him, that's where you have a machlokes. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, we still have to be choshesh, not because of the death. And even though usually the halacha is that we go according to the rov, but since the Torah insisted only miyom hashmini v'ala yeratzeh, or since the Torah insisted by a human miyom shloshim, so memela, you see that the Torah is telling you over here not to go according to this rov. It must be that it's telling us that the miut is something that we need to take into consideration. Fine. Okay, it's a question whether that is that the svara, is it the svara because of the fact that it's a rov hanimtza, because there's a high proportion of children that don't make it, certainly in those days. Anyway, but whatever the svara is, what Abaye is explaining is that Rav Shimon Gamliel is chayshesh for the viability until you prove it, and the Chachomim hold, no, you can go according to the rov. There was another maisa like this maisa, except that here it was nogea, a human. And what happened was Rav Dimi Bar Yosef had a child, and it died within 30 days, and he started sitting as an avel, because his son died. So his father comes to visit him and said, oh my God, you're playing at being an avel. I guess you were pretty hungry, huh? And you want everybody to bring you that good food that they bring to the Beit Avelim. Boy, this is not a very sympathetic father, right? So, okay. So you're playing at avelis. Nice, nice. Hope the food's good. Boy, you must have really wanted to eat the kind of food that they bring into the avel's house. What the heck are you being an avel for? The child died within 30 days, and we paskin, like Rav Shimon Gamliel. And he says, you have no reason to assume that this child was viable. And we always go according to the kula when it comes to avelis. So why in the world are you pretending to be an avel? So his father said, I know for a fact that Kimli Bey Shikololo Chadashav, he knew for a fact that the child was definitely a full-term child, that he had not had any relations with his wife for over 9 months, and therefore, it must have been Kololo Chadashav. Another maisa similar to this is that Rav Ashi came to Rav Kahana's house, and during his visit, a newborn child to Rav Kahana died, and it was within 30 days. And he sees that Rav Kahana is sitting down and keeping Avelut. So Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana, why are you being an avel? Lo sarvali mar lo d'amar Rav Yudah mar Shmuel, you don't agree that we paskin what Shmuel did? Halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And therefore, we have no reason to assume this is a viable child and you should not be sitting as an avel. Omar le, said Rav Kahana to Rav Ashi, I know for a fact that this child was a full-term child. Kim le begaveh shekalulo chadashav. Anyway, Itmar. Here's a fascinating case. A only son dies within 30 days of his birth, and the father has died. And the woman who assumed that she doesn't need to worry about getting, she obviously can't get Yibum, right? Because on the tzad that it was a viable child, she would be doing an Isser Erva if she gets Yibum, but on the tzad that it's a Safek, she would need to get Chalitza in order to be able to go and get married. She didn't realize that, and she assumed that because there was a child that was alive when the father died, that the fact that the child died betok shloshim didn't matter, and that she was allowed to go ahead and get married, and she did. She went ahead and she accepted Kiddushin from a guy, and what was the din now? So, Omer Avina Mishmei Derava, well, actually, it's very simple. If she's married to a non-Kohen, so what's the problem? So let her get Chalitza now. It's not going to affect in any way her ability to marry this guy because of the fact that she got Chalitza, right? So why shouldn't she go ahead and get Chalitza? So because of the fact that we have a suffix, let her get Chalitza. On the other hand, if she's an Ashes Kohen, so the one that she took the Kiddushin from was a Kohen, now there's a big problem, because a Kohen, remember, is not allowed to marry a chalutza, midrabanan anyway, because we consider the chalutza, we put the chalutza in the same position as a megureshet. So he's not allowed to marry someone who's a divorcee. He can't marry a chalutza either. So because of that, if she would get chalitza, we would be ossering her on the guy that she accepted kedushin from. We don't want to do that. And so because of that, okay, we'll rely on the shita of the chachamim. We'll argue on Rav Shimon Gamliel because it's only the rabbanan after all. And because of that, let her remain with her chosan without getting chalitza. Rav Sharvia mishmei de Rava Omar, whereas Rav Sharvia said, no, that's not what Rava said. Rava said, I don't care whether it was a Kohen or whether it was a Yisrael, she needs chalitza before she's allowed to get married. We follow the din that is said. We don't have any special dinim over here. Did we paskin or did we not paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? We don't paskin stam mitzad ha-sofek. Well, let's be machmer like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. We paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. That's what Shmuel said. And therefore, it would be completely usher. And why should we let her off of chalitza? Amar le Ravina, le Rav Sharvia, so Ravina also had quoted Rava, and he said, listen, it's true what you're saying, but that was at night when we were learning the halacha in the Beis HaMedrash. Rava really did say what you said, and I understand where you got it from, that the din is achazah v'achazah, whether it's a Kohen or whether it's Yisrael. Yeah, she needs chalitza, but the next morning, you may remember that you didn't show up for shir the next morning. That's what happens when you don't show up for shir. And the next morning, he changed his mind. And he said that actually, if it makes a big difference, if the guy was a Kohen, then she does not take a get a chalitza. So that infuriated Rav Sharvia, who felt that it was basically, I was making the story up. Anyway, so he said, okay, shiritua? You want to be mater her? You want to go against Rav Shimon Gamliel? No chalitza? May the day come that you're mater someone to eat an Isser chorus. And you should be mater eating tarba too. What kind of Pesach are you? Reb Yehuda, now the last thing that we learned is that Aliba de Reb Yehuda, an androgynous, is considered to be a male. Now, that would imply, if he's telling me that you're allowed to be mal an androgynous, so then it would mean that he holds that he's definitely a male, because otherwise, why would you be allowed to be mal him? Omrev Shizbi, Omrev Chista, don't make that mistake. It's not that Rav Yehuda was saying that an androgynous in all circumstances was definitely considered to be a male. That's definitely not true, because I'm going to show you other cases where he doesn't say that. There's got to be a special reason here. Because if you would say that he's considered to be a male across the board, then why in the world, if somebody makes a neder to pay the erech of an androgynous, how would we not assume that he's chayev in an erech of a zachar? But the truth is, he's not chayev in anything. How do we know that an androgynous does not have any erech? Because it says in the Sifra, hazachar tells us it has to be the male, meaning the clear-cut, identified male, as opposed to the tumtum vandrogonus, which are not clear-identified males. Lyoko, you might think that means, okay, he doesn't pay hazachar, he doesn't pay like a male, but maybe let's at least say, okay, but even if he's a woman, it's going to be the erech, the lower erech of the woman. No, because the pasuk continues, hazachar ve'im nekeva. So that interrelates, the ve'im gives the suffix nekeva the same din, which means that either you've got a 100% identifiable male or a 100% identifiable female, but not a tumtum vandrogynous. Now that is definitely saying that the androgynous is not considered to be a zachar. Nonetheless, he's considered to be, I know that this is Rabbi Yehuda, because who do you think wrote the Sifra from? It's like, this is a price in the Sifra, Stam Sifra, it's Rabbi Yehuda. So don't tell me that Rabbi Yehuda argues on this, because he's the author of it, okay? Another Raya, Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Namitnino, we could see in a Mishnah, Beferish in Pora, that he does not hold that androgynouses are male, because it says over there, Hakol Kisherim LeKadesh, Chutz B'Cheresh Shote V'Katan. So you're not allowed to, Cheresh Shote V'Katan are not able to create the May Pora Aduma by mixing the Pora Aduma, the ashes of the Paraduma, into the water. That's called Kiddush HaMayim. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, actually, a katan is kosher, but an isha and an androgynous is not kosher. And this is the way that he understands the pasuk. But I mean, if an androgynous was a vadai zohar, he would never have said that an androgynous is pasuk. So you see that he absolutely does not assume that an androgynous is a zohar. So then why, when it comes to Mila, does he? Yes, the Gemara says, Amayishna Mila. That's because of a special pasuk. Mishum dechtivi molachem kol zohar. What do you think the point of kol is? What do you mean all males? I mean, there's either male or not male, no? I mean, the meaning of kol, therefore, has got to be coming to tell me that over here there's a special halacha. And even though when it comes to Erechin, that's not a Vadai Zohar, but when it comes to the issue of Mila, all that we look at is Zohar. There's all that we look at is penises. We don't look at the sex. That's the point. So according to that, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd still need to do Mila. That's all, and that's Mila Vadai. Do I need to know whether this is a real male or a female, hormonally or whatever? No, it's none of my business. The Torah says, take care of an orla. There's an orla. I take care of the orla.